this started out as a study for me. I was looking at relationships, because that's what the world's made up, right? So I specifically was thinking about the family we have. Relationships are two-sided. You have the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband, and same with the children to the parents and children to each parent, and brothers to brothers, brothers to sisters, sisters to sisters. And we go more relationships. We got the church, one another here. And you go more, you have the world as we deal and live in the world. Or their business or relationships or all the other kind of things. But the idea was to keep, or to show you the importance of relationships, how to develop them, how to keep them, and how to grow them. But as I was reading and doing things, reading stuff, one thing popped up a bit as I was thinking, what's more important than those relationships? One is the relationship we have with God, right? And the important thing is for us to remember, and I think we don't do it enough here, is to give God the glory, the praise for what we are and who we are and what He had done for, has done for us since creation. Because there's a number of verses I'm going to look at. And if we have and develop a right relationship with God, I'm not going to say everything, all these other relationships are going to fall perfect into place, but it will sure will help extremely a lot, not in just the relationship, but also in the walk of God. Because those relationships is what God put before us to develop ourselves, to grow us, to grow in grace or in holiness. And I can probably give some examples. About getting to know God, or not getting to know God, but what God has done for us. And this isn't an apologetic type thing. It's a thing to show, as I mentioned before, the great vast gulf that separates God from us. For it truly is very great. And you start in Psalms chapter 8. Actually, I can read the whole chapter, only 9 verses. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength, because of thine enemies thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. How often have you stopped and considered the wonders, actually the wonder that you walk around in? Have you? Or if you go back and see, well, actually, I'll turn there. Turn to Psalms 139. I know it's one that we use a lot, or read a lot. And I have spoken about but I think it's interesting. I'm not going to deal with the verses we usually, or I have usually dealt with, but it's the whole chapter as a whole. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my sitting, my down sitting, and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. What is he saying? This is David. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. He knows, does he not, all that you are, all that your thoughts, before you do them. For there's not a word in my tongue, lo, but O Lord, that thou knowest it altogether. You stop to think about that? Your thoughts. God knows before you think them. And not just as individuals, you just think about the whole world. How many people are in this world? How many billion? 7? The Godhead can handle all those moment by moment, second by second. Listen to your prayers. Know your thoughts. And not just you, but everyone around. And on top of that, what else does he do at that time? He keeps the earth as it is. He caused all the things to be as they are for life. Things just fit so well together, don't they? Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. That's probably a very true statement, is it not? And what I'm trying to, again, keep saying, repeat, is we need to recognize, again, that great gulf that is fixed. And we can start to see a bit of that then we can also start to see a bit, I think, of the love that God has for us. Because as you remember in Genesis, it tells us from the beginning that He created us in His image. You know, this world increases in knowledge pretty quick. And if any of you follow any of the apologetic people, knowledge increases, I don't know how many times a day, of things that they learn. And as time goes on, they'll probably do that, increase more and more. But what happens is they're realizing, again, how complicated even your tiny little body or cells are. And so many things have to happen at one time for things to function. There is no space for what to happen. Evolve. Whither I shall go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the utter parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I think we should take verses like this as what is God's desire, or His love toward us and helping us. It should give us confidence in that what we do, where we go, He is there. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Can anybody here agree to that last statement? Lightness and darkness are the same. I was saying it doesn't matter whether it's light or dark. It doesn't matter to Him when things... Because people like to use darkness for what? What happens in the night? Isn't that what evil occurs? The Proverbs is full of those things that talk about that. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me from my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. This is a very important verse. I will praise thee. This is what I want you to think about. God needs, well, He doesn't need, but He tells us you have to praise Him for just what you are. And that's what I just mentioned a bit ago, how complicated our bodies are, how all things have to work together. Michael can attest to that, the need of having two good feet. We can make adjustments over time. That's what they call crutches. You're really bad, you have a wheelchair. Those are man's design to overcome those things. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curious wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I don't quite follow it. I suppose if I was a creationist, I would say, you have a verse here that talks about the DNA code. Would anybody agree with that or think that would be all right? I mean, all your details. All my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it? I picked this off the back out in the foyer there. These numbers I can't comprehend, so I don't know how they'll mean to you. I just read that verse. I was to see my substance yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there is none of them. I can't tell you the size of a human cell, but it says that the DNA in it stretched out would be 6 to 10 feet long for one cell. And you know how many cells the body contains? Did anybody read that in the back? About 80 trillion. So take 80 trillion times 10 feet. I didn't. I'll let you guys use your computer to figure that out. I mean, that should put awe in our hearts. Should it not? And when it was created without error or imperfection. God didn't have to tweak things. Did he? But yet today, people say that we have parts of our body that are useless and of no use, that body decays. But why is that? Why is that? That's because of sin that came. So whose fault is that? Our fathers. If I go all the way back to Adam. Eve. That should give us in our hearts a will to praise thee. Truly, we don't have the minds to comprehend all that he is. But he does give us a book that we can understand with his grace and learn about him. Talk about the goodness of God. After the fall, David writes, I think it's David, the 73rd Psalm, it's good for me to draw near to God. A relationship with God begins when he calls us or draws us. It's John. Tells us, no one comes unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him, I will raise him up in the last day. The Bible that we have before us is our only knowledge we have of God, is it not? And he tells us in Romans that the creation shows forth his handiwork. And just by looking out a window, we ought to know of his what? His greatness, of his mercy, of his power, which provides just creation provides us with not an excuse to know not of his existence. We sing a song that says, take time to be holy. And this is another old theme of mine. Is meditation. Read. Meditate and pray is a way that will lead us to God or your growing holiness. But we're affected by a lot of things around us, and those are those relationships. If we read, if we pray, meditate on the Word of God, and you have a bad day at work, or you have bad days at work, and you go home, and the kids are sick, fussy, supper's not ready, What can I do for you? It should make us be thankful. If we have been reading, praying, meditating, we should be able to say, I will praise thee. Because it is everyday living. And how we deal with everyday living in relationships. It's whether we grow or not in the Word of God, or whether we grow. And as adults, males, it's our great responsibility to be a father. And what is the responsibility of a father? What are your responsibilities? To train up, to raise children, is it not? And meet the needs. It is interesting, if even using the word father for us, that our fathers, and God is called Abba Father. I think there's a direct connection from God. Repeat again, the two ways that we have knowledge of God is what? Through His Word and through His creation. And I think if you don't take heed to His Word, you're going to have a hard time seeing Him in the creation. Because that is kind of what Romans 1 says. They denied the power thereof. So when our mornings start, or our days start, and I'm talking about myself on this, saying this, it needs to start with God, and as Keith preached about, praising God. As I discovered even in this reading last night, some amazing things. Oh God. And the things that I lack. And I hate to compare humanity to a machine. But people always praise those little devices that we carry in our pockets and the ones that sit in our desk. But a lot of time those things act up, don't they? Whether we hit the wrong button or... gets infected with something. It's interesting that you have to clean your hard drive up and stuff like that so it works better? Tell me, does that not apply to your heart? To our hearts? And there's only one way you can do that. As we walk this earth, years ago, we at the house had a little rubber stamp. And my kids knew it or not, but inside a lot of the books, older books I have at home, you know what's stamped inside of those? Pure religion and defiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, widows in their affliction, and to keep him unspotted from the world. We have a negative and a positive here. To visit fatherless and widows in their affliction. I think I just read last Wednesday, was it last Wednesday or last Sunday? Out of Matthew 24. About the separation of sheep and the goats. And you saw the difference between the two. The sheep didn't realize what they were doing. The goats said, when we didn't do it. That's visiting the fatherless and the widows. The other part is a negative part, if you want to call it, is to keep from unspotted, which tells us it is possible. Be unspotted from the world. And it's something that just doesn't just happen. And it's something that doesn't wake up one morning and find out that you can be unspotted from the world. It's that period of time it takes. From walking in the Word, if you want to say it that way. I think we need to have our eyes a bit more open on a lot of things. One is when we read the Word of God, and the other is when we walk around in this earth. The needs about, and the snares and the traps that are about. Because God does give us the ability to overcome by His grace and mercy. By Christ. And I hope by this morning I can show to you that great gulf that is fixed and that God Himself bridged it. And what He wants from us is to believe Him. To give Him honor, to give Him praise for what He has done. And then to share that. Because obviously we can't put our knowledge in a basket and hide it or a can or whatever the Scripture says. For if we do, it's useless. I don't think we all have to know all these all these tremendous things that God has done that the world world has discovered and complicated things that are made. I think we just have to. Be able to share the hope that lies within us. And in this last part here, it says, keep himself unspotted from the world. It means in your daily life, there has to be some kind of difference between you and the ungodly people that you work with. And I think that can only be accomplished, again, by letting the Word of God dwell in us. Could I ask Dan to close in prayer, please?